You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, the Trend Zone.
Aw, yeah, we're not the suits that talk football. We're the dudes that know football. And you've just crossed over into the Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We are the football dudes. Dave, are you ready, bro?
Oh, yeah. You got that right, my friend.
Been hydrating, lifting weights, stretching. Make sure you don't pull a muscle.
That's right.
Next stop. That's right. The Trend Zone. It is Saturday, April 13th. Coming to you from Los Angeles, California. It's a blustery 59 degrees. Dave, lots of rain here in the valley. What's the west side looking like?
It's not raining yet, but actually, nope. I have misspoken. It has come down in the last 15, 20 minutes. And yes, it is blustery and chilly out there. It's not a nice day.
No, man. I'm finally getting these winter months in the spring. But what did I say? April showers, May flowers, baby. So it is trending in the right direction. Speaking of trending in the right direction, we're here at the Trend Zone, baby. And we're going to have a Friday Night Lights version of the NFL to get everything started. And it's in a new locale, more streaming for the playoffs, some quarterbacks moving, some coaches settling in, and of course, a little look at the up and coming draft, Dave, just 2 weeks ago. How did we get here, bro?
Dude, wow. It's been an off season, with just like all kinds of activity going on, right? As the NFL calendar never seems to be lacking. There's something right around the corner, it seems, all the time, man.
Would you possibly say that this offseason is slipping away?
It is slipping away, man, as we hurl towards the NFL draft in just a few short weeks, man. It's going to be exciting.
You got that right, my friend. Now, tell me you have some nugs for the peoples heading into the draft.
Of course, Casey. We are the football dudes. We do provide nugs. All right, here it is, folks. The Packers and Eagles will open the 2024 season in Brazil. It'll be a Friday night game. You mentioned it, Casey. Friday Night Lights, baby. First time the NFL has played on a Friday night in over 50 years, dude. Game will be at Sao Paulo.
Yeah, it will.
The Corinthians Arena, home of the Brazilian soccer team, SC Corinthians, dude, and it is going to be huge, man. Sao Paulo knows how to put on a big time event, and it will be, of course, Casey, streamed exclusively on Peacock. React!
You know, all these streaming devices and Amazon Prime with the streaming on Thursday.
Whew.
The technology is not there yet, bro. Like my main reason, I like to watch football. I like to time shift it. When I'm watching, I like to pause it to see if that ball slipped out before the knee went down. Mm-hmm. It's not there to do that. The streaming has to really up itself, especially the time shift. How many times last year did we jump into a game? You had it on pause and then you tried to get on there and it was halfway through the first quarter. That's just
a
waste.
Peacock was not successful at it. Thursday Night Football, Amazon's Prime Video product, was woefully behind, you know, what we were accustomed to technology-wise. And DirecTV was, you know, the old Sunday ticket where we were locked in there forever. You could go frame by frame, which was very nice on those circumstances. You could stop and clear the screen and look at it versus stuff coming up automatically as soon as you hit stop. And the worst thing of all, trying to join a game 45 minutes late because that's when I can get there and get started on it. And then having the live score show and have it be like, oh, crap. Now I'm halfway through the second quarter or whatever. It's garbage.
Yeah, I hate the not being able to time shift it or trusting that process each week. And I really hate not seeing the frame by frame. And you mentioned, like, as soon as you pause it, all that crap comes up on the screen. I want to see the lines. I need to see this stuff. I dig in. I'm a sicko. I want more. So,
and additionally, one other thing that really bugged me is for Amazon, all your money, and you can't get it a little better, more consistent in terms of the video quality.
Yeah.
I was looking at, you know, digitization regularly, sometimes freeze frame. I could still hear the audio, touchdown, and then boom, it comes back and somebody's spiking the ball in the end zone. It's like, give me a break here, man.
I know. And obviously the NFL is going to keep trying to, you know, cash those checks. So it's not going away. Let's just get it up to snuff and get it where it's a quality product, start to finish, especially in the playoffs, dude.
Yeah, well, and they're also charging us for this one and that one, the other one. It's like, okay, how many different directions can they, you know, pull at our wallet?
You know what we're not going to charge for, Dave? That is the Trend Zone, and it is available for subscription for free. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, now Amazon Music as well. Giving some value back to the people.
Yeah, that's for the people, basically. Free of charge.
All right, Dave, the rules are there ain't no rules. It's to the second bridge and back. The first one back wins.
Wow, you reminded me of that street racing incident, Casey. Let's not get into that one, though.
Oh, the one where you bumped your head and someone had to drive for you, you know? It happens. All right, actually, Dave, we got some cool rules. The NFL, each year in the owners' meetings, some of the teams, you know, they give some proposals. The NFL is pretty good at listening to those. We have a few here that we actually dig moving into the 2024 season.
Yeah. First one here, Casey, is it is the ability to get a third challenge if you've got just one successful one out of the bunch there. So adding one challenge to the game, as long as you didn't get them both wrong. And I think that's obviously that's a step in the right direction here, as we have the technology that shows us when stuff's wrong and we're sitting on our couches, at least give the power to the coaches to overrule those in circumstances like that.
Yeah, I think this could go even a little further than that. I don't think you shouldn't be able to challenge something if you're out of timeouts. I think, like you said, we have the technology. If we can get it right, let's get the damn play right. That's what matters. Lives are on the line. Jobs are on the line. Money's on the line. It's like, if we can fix it, let's fix it. I don't care if it takes a few more minutes. You know, you're popping up your commercials anyways. Make some more money, get the play right.
Yeah, and on another side note, Casey, the expansion of the video official in conjunction with the on-field officials, I think is another way that they can get more things right using the technology, and it's not necessarily requiring the challenge. It gets done by the officiating group, and boom, we present you with the result.
Yeah, it should be easy. It should be quick. They should be able to get it done. Dave, they're also adding some more things that are up for review.
Yeah, next one up, Casey, that we thought was interesting is ruling of a passer down by contact or out of bounds as he's throwing the football, making that a reviewable play. Whether a quarterback's knee was down before he got the ball off is now subject to review.
And now they're also saying that they're going to allow replay review when there's clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before any snap. How many times did we see this last year? Like, that's clearly a zero.
Yeah. And they've always said, well, there's of course this human thing where the guy's got to spot that and then look at the ball and everything. So I guess we're eliminating that human element right there at the end. If it's too slow that the ref didn't make that half a second move fast enough, but this is going to be splitting hairs, I think.
Yeah, let's get a little shock device on that ref. If it's not snapped, he gets shocked and he blows the whistle.
His head explodes.
Yeah, oh, even better. All right, Dave, a couple trickier ones coming into here. We heard all about it last year, the hip drop tackle. NFL did something about it.
Yeah, so apparently this is one of these high injury oriented type of tackles. It is, I think, from the average fan's perspective, not necessarily something that's clearly obvious. Apparently, it only happened about 15 or 20 times last year where it would have really been called. So far, that I think they've been fining people for these kind of hits, but it has no bearing on the game itself. But now, moving forward, it will be a penalty if, in fact, it is identified as a hip drop tackle.
And this is something, from my understanding, that the NFLPA didn't want to be a rule. So right. I'm all for player safety, but when the players themselves say this is not something we want, then I don't know why they need to get in there. I think it's going to be a pretty big transition, you know, on how to do that. There's some situations where I don't know how you don't tackle a guy.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for these defensive guys who have already got a tough deal with all the places they can't hit. And now you can't do this. But the horse collar tackle was something that they brought us into the game, you know, and said, okay, we're taking that out of the game. That happened years ago. We see those horse collar tackles. Now we see them, and we, as fans, we can identify them. Who knows, as this thing gets, you know, hopefully faded out of the game, phased out of the game a little bit, then there won't be that many of them. And then we'll be able to recognize, hey, wow, you can't do that, you know?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they enforce that moving forward. And
very much
if
so.
There is a little gray area there. All right, Dave, this is the one we're both pretty freaking stoked about in regards to the kickoffs.
Yeah, this is by far the most dramatic rule change this offseason. In fact, perhaps in our lifetimes, as the kickoff goes from what we traditionally know as a kickoff to something totally different looking, where just the kicker alone is on one side of the field, and most of the players are all lined up 10 yards apart on the other side of the field in the receiving area. There's a landing zone now where the ball must fall inside the 20-yard line, but in front of the end zone. And there's all sorts of stipulations in terms of where the ball will be placed. If it's out of the end zone, if it's in the end zone, if it's out of bounds, if it doesn't reach the 20-yard line landing zone, et cetera, et cetera. Well, those are all details that we'll get used to as this thing unfolds. It's going to be outlandish how adventurous this is going to be. Mm-hmm. It is the wild, wild west. Some coaches will look at this thing and think, this is awesome. We've got a whole new area here that we can exploit. Other coaches will be in over their head. I'm sure the NFL, being the copycat league that it is, everybody's going to be watching what everybody's doing every week and figuring out how best to use this. And again, we've talked about it, Casey. What kind of players?
Yeah.
How does this change the personnel on the kicking and receiving teams?
Yeah, totally. If you can get like a linebacker, you know, that can kick the ball and it doesn't have to, you know, really don't have to, you know, aim it anywhere. It's just got to hit in that little zone. Maybe you have another tackler on the field. Maybe you have like two running backs back there receiving the kick. I mean,
right. And when it comes to like the guys that are supposed to traditionally run down the field 40 yards or whatever the heck it is, 50 yards to try and then make a play. Well, now they're not having to run that much. So speed and that kind of thing maybe is less valued now, and tackling ability in smaller, you know, without having to run 50 yards first comes into be more, you know, so maybe more linebackers and stuff and less smaller speedy guys.
And one thing this has also done is pretty much eliminate the onside kick, which is pretty much eliminated anyways.
Yeah.
With this new kick, you have to tell the other team, oh, by the way, we're attempting this in the fourth quarter because we're down. You know, I've been watching the UFL, and last week there was a team that was down. We're still down by a score, but in lieu of the onside kick, they went for it on 4th and 12, picked it up, kept the drive going, and won the game. Now, I think the conversion rate for a 4th and 12 is a little too easy on the NFL level to make that the onside, but let's find that sweet spot. Is it 30%? Is it 20%? What is the conversion rate? Let's get that in there. It made the game exciting. We want an offensive game anyways. Why not give it a little more juice at the end? These games are coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Add this in there. Why the hell not?
Well, I'll say one reason that I would say on the other side, Casey, is like, let's say the other team lost that game by not getting the football even. They didn't even get the football. They had what traditionally would be an insurmountable lead that they earned throughout most of the football game. And then right at the end, the other team had two possessions in a row, scored twice, and won the football game. Also, anything that gives Patrick Mahomes more of an advantage pisses me off. And giving Patrick Mahomes a 4th and 12 or 18 or 22 or whatever late in the game, one more chance for him to freaking pull a miracle win out, he'll run for the 22
He's
yards.
He's just going to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that the Chargers, you know, tried to get that amendment that he must throw the ball left-handed in the fourth quarter every time. It just didn't pass this year. I mean, it got a lot of, you know, support throughout the league, but not 24. Oh man. Yeah. I think it's going to be a neat thing. They got to figure that out because basically the onside kick is dead, but we're going to get a lot more kick returns.
The kick returns are alive. That's the thing. We brought that game back. And that, you know, there's not that many onside kicks in the game, but there are a lot of kickoffs and kick returns. And now we're going to see action on each of those plays. It's not you time to go make right, the sandwich. Baby.
And the Steelers had an interesting rule that they got worked out and amended.
Yes, and we both agree that this is definitely necessity here. The trade deadline has been pushed back to after week 9, where I believe it was week 8 last year. So they expanded the season, but they left the trade deadline at the same spot. So with one more game, it just makes a lot more sense to get it closer to the end of the season. The teams that are wanting to put that playoff push together get one more week, and the teams that are not sure if they can get it together or not get one more week to see if they can keep their team alive.
Yeah, I like that. I could even push it back a little bit more, but it used to come so early that you couldn't tell if you needed people or not.
Yeah.
Get it and back it basically, a little bit more.
It made, there was no action. You know what I
yeah.
mean? What it, so one thing we as fans, it's like, oh my gosh, suddenly there's a flurry of some things happening that can be exciting.
Yeah. And now the competition committee is letting a bona fide quarterback move up and down unlimited times from the practice squad to the active list to be that emergency third quarterback. And this, yeah. I think, is a no-brainer as well.
Absolutely. So what this really means is that normally when you elevate a player from the practice squad twice, then the third elevation means you have to sign him to the active roster and he becomes a member of the team. This gives this special quality to that third emergency quarterback where you can elevate him from the practice squad back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think it's good. That means those guys, he still counts as one of the active bodies on the sideline there. But if you do have a banged up starting quarterback, this gives you that insurance policy and it doesn't mean that you have to sign the dude to the active roster during that time period. Overall, Casey, we've seen the expansion of these practice squads from what they used to be, 6 players, 8 players, whatever, to where they are now, 16 players or something. And it's an enormously beneficial thing
completely.
To have these players practicing with NFL caliber, you know, as part of these NFL teams. That keeps that product when and we see how many, whether it's quarterbacks or even other players, get hurt and they have to go to that next guy and go to that next guy. We want to know that that guy's ready.
Yeah, and I would even give that third quarterback an exemption from taking up one of those roster spots on Sunday. We saw almost 70 QBs play last year. If we can have another one ready in case of emergency to break that glass, we shouldn't be punitive when a team needs that. Without the quarterbacks, the game is brutal and not a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's certainly crippling when your quarterback isn't really NFL ready.
Speaking of watching, Dave, the Hawkeye feed will be in play in the preseason. Tell the people about that. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is a real good one. When once in a while we do see it as fans, but not enough as fans. But what it is it's the officials are able to sync up multiple versions, angles of a specific play that they're reviewing, and they can sync them up in time. That way you can see when a guy's knee hit the ground. Did it happen before the ball popped out or whether you're looking at those things running in slow motion in sync, frame by frame in sync. And that helps you really see things more clearly rather than watching one, then watching the other. This gives that to the coaches in the booth so that they can evaluate those things. It's going to help down the road. If they can make this is just for the preseason here, but it's going to be, and they're aiming for full implementation in 2025. And what it'll do is give the teams that want to make a challenge, a little more information in that very short amount of time that they're offered to challenge a play before the team runs up to the line of scrimmage and runs another one.
Yeah. Making that as easy as possible shouldn't have like a prohibitive nature to it. We have technology. Let's use it. Let's get it right. You're the road team. It shouldn't be more difficult for you to get the feed or see what you need. Let's get this thing going and get the game worked out. They're too big. They're too close to have it come down on something that can be controlled and can be overturned if it's wrong. So they're moving in the right direction slowly but surely. And Dave, I got a question for you. What if the draft on the weekend, the 25th through the 27th, is just not enough football for you? What are you going to do, bro?
Well, I could watch the UFL, Casey, but now there's an even deeper depth of an option to go to. It is the all-new Arena Football League. That will start on Saturday, April 27th, following the draft, as you mentioned, Casey. It'll be the Orlando Predators and Albany Firebirds. This one's in Albany, Casey. So it's going to be 16 teams back with this new iteration of the Arena League, Casey. Total of 80 games, man. And I know you are dying to see the Louisiana Voodoo take on the Georgia Force or the Wichita Regulators against the Iowa Rampage, man.
Dave, the Philadelphia Soul, one of the only teams I like from the city of Philadelphia just because it's Jaws and John Bon Jovi.
How about Washington? It's not the FT, Casey. It's the Washington Wolf Pack.
Oh, you were clamoring for that, weren't you? Wasn't that the name you wanted?
It's not bad. I like alliteration. Alliteration's likable for me.
Oh, yeah. It goes a long way, baby. We are in. The more football, the more better. And you know what? AFL was an affordable game for the working man. It's pretty fun when you're live. When we used to have, what was it? The Gladiators?
Avengers.
Avengers, baby. Yeah. So went to a couple games. It's fun in person. It'll scratch that itch a little bit.
A little bit.
All right, Dave, let's go ahead and get into some of the newfangled new season stuff.
Yeah.
Every year, somehow, there's 6 to 8 coaches that spin around that carousel and drop down into a new spot. We had 8 coaching changes in the offseason moving up here. We talked about this earlier on, but let's go ahead and give a little refresh for the people that might be in hibernation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'll go through them quickly, and then we can just touch on a couple. How about the Chargers getting Jim Harbaugh in? Commanders hiring Dan Quinn. The Falcons bring in Raheem Morris. The Panthers, Dave Canales. And then the Patriots keep Gerard Mayo, elevate him to head coach. Raiders take the interim tag off of Antonio Pierce. He's their guy now. How about Titans bringing in Brian Callahan? And the Seahawks get Mike McDonald. Casey, let me just jump into my guy. My Chargers.
Antonio Pierce? Oh.
No, thank you, Casey. Good luck, Raiders. But I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh. Not thrilled to get him initially, or as the idea of him coming along into the Chargers was forming, and it seemed so obviously like it was going to happen. Then I just started to open my mind up, and now his football insanity, his madness, his love and his passion, his quirkiness, I'm embracing it all. It's
the
fun.
People can't see it right now, but you're actually wearing khakis during the show.
That's right, Casey. There's no doubt about it, man. Hey, he's living in an RV down by Huntington Beach right now, a couple of blocks away from the facility. He is constantly in there.
He's not getting paid. He's living in a van down by the river. You guys aren't even paying this guy?
That's the motivational speaker. What's his name, Casey?
Matt Foley. I have a perception abrasion problem.
Now, I'll tell you what, though. Harbaugh, he seems to be a nut job, but he is crazy passionate about football. And you know what? The players really respond to him, the rapport that he builds with them. So I'm excited beyond belief at the direction the Chargers are going.
Well, when he was with the Niners, they went to the Super Bowl. When he was at Michigan, they went to the national championship and won it. Chargers have a lot of pieces in place, man. It is ripe for the taking. So I am stoked to see what the Harbaugh can do. He's cocked, locked, ready to rock. Dave, another hire I like on this list is Mike McDonald for the Seahawks.
Yeah, definitely, dude. I mean, Mike McDonald was really put together a great defensive scheme there for the Ravens last year. He was at Michigan as well. So kind of along that Jesse Minter thing that the Chargers brought in. Mike McDonald, though, a really, really innovative defensive mind, replacing Pete Carroll, who is obviously a very successful and innovative defensive mind also. So Seahawks go from defensive head coach to defensive head coach. And Mike McDonald, it is going to be fun to see what he can do with Seattle.
And there's no word on yet if he's going to be blasting the Doobie Brothers all through those practices for the Seahawks. Maybe he will. I don't know.
Right.
All right, Dave, let's go ahead and move this into some of the players. Some new starting quarterbacks on a few of these teams. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you'll be able to guess which teams will be looking for a quarterback in the upcoming draft?
Yeah, I'm going to rattle off these new teams with their current starters, Casey, and then we'll kind of dive a little deeper there. The Broncos with Jarrett Stidham at the top of the roster, Raiders, Aiden O'Connell, Patriots, Bailey Zappe, Steelers, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, Falcons, Kirk Cousins, Bears, Tyson Bagent, Vikings, Sam Darnold, Commanders, Marcus Mariota. Okay, now, those are current starters. However, the draft is coming up, and we're expecting a plethora of quarterbacks taken, many of them very early. In fact, conceivably, of those teams we just listed, six of them could be acquiring a new quarterback in the first round. So we'll see. Obviously, the top of the draft there, Bears, Commanders, and Patriots certainly seem to be headed towards a new quarterback. And then trickle down the draft a little bit. You've got the Vikings, Raiders, and Broncos. Well, the Vikings obviously lost Kirk Cousins. So, you know, with Sam Darnold, certainly with Kevin O'Connell coaching him, you could think, okay, there's something there, yeah. Salvation, you know, a reclamation project, blah, blah, blah. But will Justin Jefferson be happy about that situation? We'll see. But looks like they're the team with the two first round picks that has the most ammunition. If they want to try and get up there, maybe in discussions with the Patriots, if they're not interested in a quarterback, or maybe the Cardinals up there at position four, the Chargers certainly look like a prime target for a trade back. And then that would give the Vikings the opportunity to pick maybe one of those top three quarterbacks projected in this year's draft trickle down, or maybe one of the next grouping of quarterbacks is worthy of going up there. And you know, you maybe have to get up there to get in front of some other teams to get them. Who knows, even if the Giants might be interested in a new quarterback as well, picking sixth.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, what's kind of interesting for me is, like, I feel like the Vikes are going to get somebody, but Sam Darnold there, dude, he was in the same draft as Baker, and this guy went to the Jets. When was the last quarterback we saw succeed with the Jets? It's been brutal. He hasn't had a lot of good stuff around him. He's now been with some good coaching. When Baker got some stability, he took a Bucs team that wasn't supposed to do anything to the playoffs, and they won a game. Sam Darnold, you know, I don't think this guy is a bust. I think he's been in a bad situation coming off some good coaching last year. Maybe this is an opportunity for him.
Agreed. And, you know, so much when we talk about these kids coming out, these quarterbacks that have a lot of talent, it's where they land in the not necessarily how high they're picked or anything like that, but it's the people that are surrounding them, the coaching they receive, the stability on that coaching staff, the personnel that surrounds them, the offensive line in front of them. So many factors the quarterback isn't in control of, you know?
You know, and now I think, though, with the NIL, that might be a good thing for developing these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like a guy, instead of leaving that 1 year early, goes back, he's going to make a couple mil at college, get another 10 to 14 starts under his belt. That might help these guys make that transition a little smoother. So that could be one of the good offsets from NIL. But Dave, I want to get back to the Steelers real quick. They get they get Russell Wilson for a mil because the Broncos paid all that money just to cut him.
To get him,
and then they get Justin Fields for almost nothing. This is a guy that would still be on the Bears if they didn't have that number one overall pick that they got from the Panthers. This is a guy that we saw last year do some really positive things. I can't see Russ really holding this guy off. I think Fields is getting into a really good opportunity, and Steelers might have hit little black and gold.
Yeah, nice. You know, I'll tell you, Russ signed there with that dirt cheap contract, and of course he's still making $39 million this year. But when he signed there, they basically probably said to him, hey, you know, but you're the guy right now, you know. But then Justin Fields comes along in a week later, and this is legit competition because this guy's got some snaps under his belt.
Yeah,
and he brings the mobility factor. I mean, I don't know how many bad games Russell Wilson, if he wins the job, assuming, right?
Yeah.
How many bad games he can weather before you start hearing chants for Fields.
Yeah, and, you know, Russ isn't a long-term solution to that Steelers quarterback problem.
It was a smart move at the money, and
yeah.
And again, you look at Fields, smart move with the draft capital that they that the Steelers invested. My God, they're going to have the cheapest. They're like a $5 million quarterback room.
Yeah.
For the entire team.
Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Under that.
And a high draft pick there, right? Possibly ascending player.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch that situation there. So that's good stuff. All right, Dave, last year, I mean, what a difference a year makes. Running backs couldn't sniff any cash, and the free agency this offseason went bonkers, and all these dudes got paid.
Yeah. We'll just get some of the highlights just in terms of not necessarily the sheer numbers, but the numbers are there in terms of the money that these guys finally landed. But Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Tony Pollard to the Titans, Derrick Henry to the Ravens. That seems like a match made in heaven. Mm-hmm. Eckler to the Commanders. I mean, this is a long list. And these guys, a lot of them are in their mid to late 20s. They're getting old, Casey. I would say that, except they're almost all of them are like half my age. So they're really not that old at 26, 27. Most of these guys, a couple of them are 28 or 29 or 30, but still got plenty of good tread on the tire for most of these dudes.
Yeah. How about DeAndre Swift? He's only 25. He had a pretty good year for the Eagles. He's been banged up for most of his career, but the value is there. The Bears, you know, 3 years, $24 million, where his contract will max out. I think there is a lot of tread left on the tires. But the team that did sneaky big time here was the Texans.
Oh, yeah, dude. Texans, Joe Mixon's. That's a pretty nice acquisition right there. The Texans across the board have made a lot of nice acquisitions. And then look at the Bengals. They let Mixon go, basically, and they replace him with Zach Moss, a younger guy there by a couple of years and a little bit cheaper, too. So see if Zach Moss can fill that same role that Mixon was filling for the Bengals.
And then the sneaky move here, too, talk about these Steelers again. Cordarrelle Patterson is a little long in the tooth. He's 33, but doesn't have that wear and tear that running backs do in this league because it took 8 to 10 years to figure out where to play this guy. He was very effective in that Falcons run game. Now with the new return rules and now
that's what
on the Steelers squad, this guy could be a major contributor.
I think they brought him in there to kick return. And, of course, we know what he's like a – you know, obviously a Swiss Army knife kind of in the backfield there. But yeah, with the new return things, there's so much unknown that I think Cordarrelle Patterson in that role will be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. All right, Dave, let's go ahead and move this thing to the wide receivers. Not a ton of movement at the top on this list, but definitely some newsmakers, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, right at the top here is the whole transaction with Stephon Diggs. You know, basically they're paying him $31 million against the cap to go away from Buffalo. And when they got him, you know, the Texans there renegotiated his contract, cut off the last 3 years of it, right? And then gave him a little bit more money, gave him a little bump in pay. But at the end of the deal, it's just a 1 year, $22.5 million contract, I believe it is, something like that. And, you know, I think of it's almost a fascinating move because he's certainly going to sign another contract after that. And if he does, if he likes where it is and it all works out there, then that's an awesome acquisition for that team, who is a surprise success story last year. But if it doesn't, then he signs somewhere else. Then they'll be looking at a pretty decent compensatory pick for him down the road. So when you think about it, there's a lot going on here that it looks like it's all kind of like well played.
You know? Yeah. You know, it is a little bit of a head scratcher, though, because obviously they moved him out of Buffalo for a reason. You mentioned all that money they ate to get him out of there.
Yep.
I'm not sure this is the cat that I'm going to bring in when I have an up and coming young quarterback coming into his second year. They were already stocked at receiver down there in Houston.
Yeah.
Diggs obviously has a ton of talent, but does he have the right temperament with a young quarterback? You got to be very careful with some of these guys when it comes to that.
Right.
CJ Stroud needs to be a lot of his voice.
Seemed to work his wear out his welcome in Minnesota, before he arrived in Buffalo. Likewise in Buffalo, now he's here. So them cutting all of those years off, it's like, what's the deal there? Well, okay, it's a one-year deal, you know. At the end of that, they don't have to, there's no attachments there. So
yeah, he's definitely going to make the Texans a fun team to watch. But Dave, who's left to catch the ball in Buffalo? Gabe Davis is also gone now.
Yeah, no question about it. Gabe Davis moves on, signs with the Jaguars, 3 years, $39 million. Pretty good number there.
But they have Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's gone, Casey. He is now on the Titans. That's a this one's a surprising, huge deal. 4 years, $92 million. Calvin Ridley is a good guy. He's missed a couple of years for one reason or another. I think some mental health, some gambling, other stuff like that. So we'll see if that investment is worthwhile. Man, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and then unfortunately for your Chargers, up against that cap coming into this season, had to let Mike Williams go. We saw that one coming. We didn't see the Keenan thing coming, but Mike Williams finds a home with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm looking for him to have an impactful deal there. Aaron Rodgers loves that back shoulder throw. Mike Williams has a great receiving radius, the range of balls he can catch downfield. I'm thinking that's going to be a real nice combination there. I'm hoping that Mike Williams plays well for those guys. And he's coming back off that ACL. That was a week 3 injury. So he's kind of going to be a pretty close timeline there for him to be ready to go to start the season. Of course, you mentioned Keenan Allen goes to the Bears for a 4th rounder. It seems like an absolute steal, but the Chargers were in desperate measures.
And dude, Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to throw this guy into situations that aren't catastrophic landings. That was the biggest problem. Right. Mike Williams, every time he caught the ball, it looked like he fell off a building.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Smashing down. So,
He has had a history of injuries. When he's on the field, he's one of the better receivers in the NFL. And with Garrett Wilson on the other side of him, there it is going to be a nice sort of like 1A and 1B kind of a dude, you know, just like it was when the Chargers had Keenan on one side and him on the other, and both guys are healthy. That's a great spot for Mike Williams.
And dude, I know you're not stoked about this one, but I am completely stoked about this. My guy, Marquise Hollywood Brown, going from the Cardinals to the Chiefs, dude. And now with all the nonsense around Rashi Rice, there's an even bigger role carved out for Hollywood. And if this guy stays healthy, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's a speedster for sure. So, that gives him that Tyreek Hill level of speed. Not, I don't know if he's at quite Tyreek's speed burner level, but it gives him a guy like that. MVS was also a fast guy. He's not going to be back, obviously. This is a 1 year, $11 million contract. So I'm sure Marquise Brown is thrilled right now at the opportunity that's in front of him. The financial part of this deal is awesome for Marquise Brown as well. What a great situation. Offseason for Hollywood.
All right, Dave, if you're a Bears fan and the potential of Tyson Badgett at your quarterback doesn't pump your nads, we've got good news for you, baby. The NFL draft just a couple weeks away. Bears sitting there with the number one overall pick. It's pretty much dialed in, although anything can happen. But we're looking at Caleb Williams going there. But Dave, how many quarterbacks do you think we could possibly see going in this first round?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that there's a good chance that 6 will go. Yeah. And I'm thinking 1, 2, 3. Obviously, Caleb Williams has separated himself. It seems that there's no way that anyone else could dethrone him from that number one pick at this point in time. But then after that, it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Not sure how they fall. I'm guessing they both go to the teams that are in those spots. That would be Washington with the 2nd pick, and then New England with the 3rd pick. That goes 1, 2, 3. After that, it's the Cardinals, and they have a quarterback, so they're possible trade out candidates. And now we're talking about the teams that still are pretty high in that first round, but not high enough to feel comfortable with sitting back and waiting. You got the Vikings at 11. You've got the Broncos at 12 and the Raiders at 13. And all of those teams, I think, would be interested in a J.J. McCarthy, possibly Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Those are the six that I've kind of targeted. After that, you'd have to have some pretty extreme patience if you really were eyeballing one of those guys to not pick them with those by that 13th pick, let's say, and just to wait around, see if you can trade back into the back end of the first round, or even just wait for that second round pick to come around and you think your guy's going to be there because there's somebody lurking that's going to jump up there and grab a quarterback maybe in the back end of that first round that you're not thinking about right now.
And plus, dude, remember we talked about the Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield draft. Darnold was the number one consensus
all the
overall
way up
pick
until the end.
All the way up. But Baker, he won the Browns over in those interviews. There's still a window here for someone to talk their way up. I don't know if they can get to number one, but, you know, we don't know where the people really like the quarterbacks two through whatever, but there's still opportunity for get a little shakeup in there, you know, could be interesting moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, JJ McCarthy was working his way into the first round at like 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago. Now he's working his way into the top 10, maybe top five.
Yeah. And it's all liars poker out there. We hear who they love. We hear who the, hey, blah, blah, this and that, you know, and now we're talking like Penix. How high is this guy going to go? He was, you know, maybe at the end of the first round coming on. Now we're hearing that it could be, you know, much higher. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. And then, you know, like a Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt just kind of sitting back there too.
Yeah. And Jordan Travis, in fact,
Jordan Travis, dude.
I mean, the dude could sling it and run as well. So, you know, these guys, they're going to get drafted. And then, you know, are you the team that pulls the trigger in the second round, third round, fourth round? Somebody's going to be falling down a little bit here. But those are some solid prospects, too, that could end up being excellent NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, so we're pretty much down in. We know the top three are going to do quarterbacks. You mentioned four is where the Cardinals are. They obviously have Kyler. Everybody is penciling in Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. But if somebody comes up and makes them an offer they can't refuse to jump out of that fourth spot, how is it going to play out with these top three or four wide receivers?
Yeah, it's the scenario I heard of recently was the Vikings trade up with the Cardinals. Even though the Cardinals want one of the top wide receivers, they go back to 11 and 23. The Cardinals have they are loaded. They have like two number ones, three number threes. And so what the Cardinals then do is similar to what they did last year, trade back and then trade back up. Maybe they target the Chargers to get the fifth pick and give back the 11th pick. And maybe instead of the 23rd, the 27th or the 27th, and they have like three picks in the third, so sprinkle one of those in, and they still get Marvin Harrison, and they get an extra first-round pick out of it.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this thing plays out. It's kind of whoever your flavor right there is between Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really go wrong with any of those cats. And then how do the rest of the teams feel about Brian Thomas Jr.? He's kind of been the outlier of those guys, but I don't know that there's that big of discrepancy between the game of those top three and his.
Yeah. And even a couple of guys down, I just heard Kiper say this morning on a podcast that he had eight guys that were number first round grades at wide receiver. Now, does that mean, of course, eight are going? No, but that's how he grades them out, you know. So I think at least four and probably six go in this first round. You know, you got Adonai Mitchell out of Texas and Ladd McConkey out of Georgia there. Those guys are, you know, pretty exciting prospects too. So,
yeah. So, damn, we got 5 to 6 quarterbacks, 6 to 8 wide receivers, 7 to 10 linemen.
Yeah,
if this is the draft that you need defense, you're pretty freaking stoked, dude. Somebody is going to fall.
Yeah, yeah. There's a handful of edge rushers and corners that are going to be sprinkled into there in the top 15 picks or so. Amongst all of those O linemen, we're looking at probably 6 O linemen taken in the first 20 picks or something like that. You got those three receivers that are locks, the three quarterbacks that are locks, those
three quarterbacks could be as many as six. The receivers could be as many as six or more. I mean, yeah, you got just a couple of corners, man. And it's interesting what I'm hearing about the corners is some people like this guy better. There's this guy over there. This guy was higher ranked earlier, and now he's been passed by another dude. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But there are a couple of really good corners in the draft as well.
And then last year, as far as running backs went, it was really Bijan Robinson in the top and nobody else. Then all of a sudden, the Lions jumped up and grabbed Jahmyr Gibbs, and everybody was like, oh, they reached. And then we saw him on the field, like, oh, how did he drop this far? Was a major contributor to how explosive that offense was. It doesn't feel like we have any of those guys in the first round, probably. No running backs taken in the first round this year.
Yeah, it's looking like there aren't there won't be a single one. And then whether or not one even finds his way into the second round, likely that we've talked about Jonathan Brooks being that kind of guy that seemingly has separated himself from the rest of the pack. But by my account, there's at least five, six, seven guys that are all very kind of interchangeable in terms of the fact that you could somewhere between that first pick, which will be probably late in the second round, early in the third round at running back. Third and fourth round is going to be a real nice spot. If you need a running back and you can sit back and wait and you're not as, you know, hell bent on one dude or the other, there's a lot of quality backs that are going to be very productive NFL players.
Yeah. I think the value for these guys is going to be way more than where they're actually taken. In the draft, I think, like you said, third round, some people are going to score some major talent there, and it's going to be pretty sweet, especially for a team like my Cowboys that are looking for a running back.
And my Chargers, we're definitely going to have to add one more body to that room for sure. And some of these dudes that we're looking at, Bucky Irvin out of, Oregon, obviously, Mike Corum would be an obvious choice for the Chargers, Jalen Wright from Tennessee there. And, you know, another guy that I love, of course, Notre Dame fan myself, Audric Estime, didn't run real well at the combine, but is a big bruiser, downhill runner, strong guy. Marshawn Lloyd at USC. That's really, really interesting to me. A lot of exciting backs here, man. Ray Davis, I mean, golly, I'll tell you.
It is going to be good, and it's just a couple short weeks away. That is the NFL draft coming to you from Detroit, Rock City, the 25th through the 27th. And you know the football dudes will have you covered on all that sweet, sweet NFL draft goodness. Dave, so many ways that people can check out the football dudes. The Trend Zone, the podcast you're listening to right now, available for subscription, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music.
Yeah, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Instagram, Facebook, and follow us on X at Football Dudes LA. Make sure you tag us across all those social media platforms.
And while you're out there surfing the webs, go ahead and bookmark footballdudes.com. That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. We're not the suits that talk football. We're the dudes that know football. For Dave, I am Casey, and we are out of here.